the hymn writer wrote, I love the Lord, he heard my cry, and pitied every groan. Long as I live, while troubles rise, I'll hasten to his throne. And Jesus himself said that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. We certainly thank God for his presence in this place. Thank God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is worthy to be praised. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, choir, for blessing us, leading us in worship and song. And we certainly thank God for these young people who have participated in our worship. Let's give the Lord a praise for them. Certainly delighted to see all of you, our visitors. God bless you. Thank you for being with us here this morning. Good to look up and see Brother Simmons back. Amen. Welcome back. Looked up there, I didn't see you. I heard you out of town. Amen. We're glad for the very first time to have with us Minister, Mr. and Mrs. Jerry and Anita Arnett. Amen. God for all that he is doing. There is word from the Lord. I don't want to hold you too long, but I want to call your attention to a passage of scripture read earlier from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 9 through 13a. 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 9 through 13a. Hear now the word of the Lord. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and also how he executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom or juniper tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Verse 9. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. The word of God for the people of God. My sisters and brothers, I will be treading on what some may call dangerous grounds this morning when you consider the theology, which simply means language about God, that has been passed down passed on and is prevalent in African American churches and communities. Am I right about it? We have been taught, urged, and indoctrinated that we are to never question God about anything. My sisters and brothers, a little over a month ago, while sitting in the pulpit of a church during a funeral service, I heard a voice speaking to my spirit, and the word said, God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing? Let us pray. Father God, I come in Jesus' name, recognizing that these are your people. This is your church. And this is your word. And I am your servant. But the truth is, Lord, without you, I'm just a poor preacher, a sorry proclaimer, ineffective and inefficient without divine help. So hide me behind the cross. Let them hear you and not me. Let them see you and not me. You be multiplied and I decrease. And we'll give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. For Christ's sake, I do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. There may be some in here today who are uncomfortable with this level of honesty when it comes to talking to God, or being open with God, or being truthful with God. And some may put on the facade that they are people of faith, who walk by faith, who talk by faith, and who never question God about anything. They just wait. But this was not Elijah's position. If you check his record, he had some questions. He had some issues. He had some problems. And he did not mind talking or questioning God about where he was or what he was doing. Isn't that what the elders meant when they said, take it to the Lord in prayer? Isn't that what the hymn writer meant when he wrote, have a little talk with Jesus? Tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. My brothers and sisters, Israel had served God under Samuel, under Saul, under David, and under Solomon. But then something happened, and the kingdom split like a Baptist church, with Israel in the north and Judah in the south. A succession of kings followed. And the seventh king who was over Israel was Ahab. A hand-picked, weak-willed, soft-spined, yellow-bellied, won't stand for anything leader. And they went from worshiping God to worshiping Baal, a Canaanite fertility god who they believed would bless their fields with crops, bless their livestock to multiply, and bless their houses with children. Y'all praying with me in here? They went from following the true God to following a God who they thought could give them some stuff. They went from celebrating the God who had brought them out of Egypt to celebrating a God who would leave them hanging in tough times. They went from worshiping the God who heard their cries and answered their prayers to calling on a God who took vacations. Y'all know the story, don't you? Ahab had a wife named Jezebel, who was the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of Sidon. He was a priest, and his daughter was a devotee of Baal. And so she sought to make Baalism the religion of Israel. Do I have a witness in here? Ahab gave Jezebel free rein to press her desire to make the people of Israel worshipers of Baal. And in short order, she sought to wipe out the prophets of the Lord God of Israel and appointed and maintained a large numbers of priests and priestess of Baal. Ahab, my sisters and brothers, may have been sitting on the throne, but Jezebel ran the kingdom. He may have been the worship leader, but she decided who they worship. His name may have been on the royal ledger, but she decided who got to see the king. His name may have been on the royal scepter, but she had the power and wielded it mercilessly. He may have been the ruler over the domain, but she had dominion over the people. He may have been the king, but she wore the pants. He may have been the man in the house, but she acted like the man of the house. And she was dangerous. Y'all not praying with me in here? Every prophet of God she got her hands on, she had them killed. Y'all know the story, don't you? If anybody, my brothers and sisters, should have been wondering what God was doing, it should have been those prophets who were being slaughtered by Queen Jezebel. Lord, where are you when we're serving you, being faithful, and we're having to hide out in caves and eat bread and drink water for our diet? Here we are teaching and preaching the word, and because of it, the queen has put out an all-points bulletin for our rest, dead or alive. Here we are holding fast to our faith and not bowing to Baal, but we have the worship on the run, and we have to have services in the dark where no one can see us. God, what are you doing? Jezebel, my brothers and sisters, I ain't never met a black child named Jezebel. And ain't no mother who grew up in the black church and knows anything about the Bible is going to name their child Jezebel. They might name them Isabel or Lulabel or Salibel or Marybel or Sarahbel, but never Jezebel. This name is synonymous with wicked, evil, and controlling. Do I have a witness in here? Sisters and brothers, there's nothing more dangerous than a bossy, bitter, and hateful woman. She will turn a kingdom upside down. She will turn a household upside down. And if you're not careful, she'll turn your life upside down. And that's what Jezebel did. Maybe that's why Solomon wrote, it's better to dwell in the attic or the rooftop than in a broad house with a brawling woman. Proverbs 21:9 and Proverbs 25:24, he wrote it twice. Point of order, brothers and sisters, if you're bitter and you're around bitter folk, you're not going to be delivered. If you're mean and you're around mean folk, deliverance is not coming. If you're weak and you're around weak folk, you'll remain weak. Is that right? Israel had a terrible combination, a weak king named Ahab and a bitter queen named Jezebel. Into this mix, my brothers and sisters, God sent the prophet Elijah. He was the power-packed prophet from Tishbe, who showed up on the scene out of nowhere and challenged the king of Israel's northern kingdom, Ahab. Isn't that right? This man of God spoke, and no rain or dew fell for 3 years. This man of God was fed miraculously by the ravens. These are scavenger birds. They don't usually bring food. They usually take your food. This man of God spoke, and the widow of Zarephath's barrel of meal and her cruse of oil did not go empty or run dry in the midst of a famine. This man of God spoke, and fire from God came down from heaven and consumed his sacrifice. Is that right? He had some high moments and some great times serving the Lord. But this man of God also had his share of doubts and disillusion. This man of God had his bouts with despair, discouragement, and depression. And this man of God had his share of questions. As powerful as he was, as many miracles as he had seen and had been wrought by his hand, you would think he would never have a doubt, never have a worry, and never question or complain to God about anything. But he did. Isn't that right? In our text, the prophet was afraid. The prophet was suicidal. The prophet was alone. And the prophet was ready to write his own epitaph. So Elijah ran to Beersheba. This was the wilderness where it is said that man first met God. Abraham, brothers and sisters, communed with God in Beersheba. Moses tabernacled with God in Beersheba. Hagar was comforted by God after being expelled by Abraham at Beersheba. Jacob had a dream and saw God's highway to heaven in Beersheba. And now, centuries later, the prophet Elijah has come to the mountain of God for a momentous meeting and encounter with the Creator in Beersheba. In Hebrew, Beer means well, and Sheba means seven. Here he was, y'all praying with me? Ready to throw in the towel. Here he was praying that God would take his life. Here he was despondent, disgruntled, and in despair. Here he was at the end of his psychological and emotional rope. Here he was, y'all, crying the blues and questioning God about his situation and his circumstances. Can you hear him? I can. God, what are you doing when I'm hurting? God, what are you doing when I'm in trouble? God, what are you doing when my children won't act right? God, what are you doing when my spouse won't act right? God, what are you doing when I'm on the verge of losing my job, my marriage, or my home? God, what are you doing when the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? God, what are you doing when sickness ravages this old body and doctors are giving up on me? What are you doing? Do I have a witness here? If truth be told, most of God's people have been at a point in their lives that we have either wondered, thought, contemplated, or even asked God what he was doing. When all hell is breaking loose in our lives, God, what are you doing? In the face of suffering, in the face of atrocities, in the face of violence, in the face of tragedy, in the face of failure, sometimes we wonder what the Lord is doing. Ain't he all right? But my sisters and brothers, when God, what God does and how God does it and why God does it doesn't always make sense. And it's not supposed to. Why, Reverend? Because he's God. The elders were right when they said the Lord works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. Why is this right, Reverend? Because he's God. And the elders were right when they said his ways are past finding out. Why, Reverend? Because he's God. And he can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for whom he wants. Ain't the Lord all right? And we don't ask questions, sisters and brothers, if our life skies are blue, the sun is shining, there's no rain in the forecast, our health is great, our bank account's on point, our relationships are in order, and love is in the air, we are at peace with God then. And we don't ask any questions at all. But it's different
when the storm cloud rises. It's different when trouble knocks at our door. It's different when life situations leave us baffled, bewildered, and confused. It's different when we called on God all night long and it don't seem like God is answering. It's different when we've been knocked down by unexpected blows. It's different when we don't know if we're coming or going. It's different when the way is dark, the road is rough, and friends are few. It's different then. Do I have a witness? Yes, my sisters and brothers. When trouble knocks at our door, when hardships come our way, and when things go extremely bad, if we dwell the truth, sometimes we wonder what the Lord is doing. Here Elijah was in Bathsheba, waiting to die. But God was not done with him. God still had a mission for him. God still had places for him to go, people to see, and things to do. One scholar wrote, what Elijah heard was absolute silence. We don't like silence, but it's in the silence that we can hear God. It's in the silence we can discern the move of God. It's in the silence that we can hear what God is speaking clearly. It was in the silence that Elijah heard. And I know that's an oxymoron about hearing silence, but I'm here to tell you he heard God's absolute silence. God was there and everything was quiet. God was there and everything stood still. God was there. And Elijah got up from where he was, put his cloak on his face, stood in the door of the cave, and listened for God. The wind blew, but God was not in the wind. The earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. The fire fell, but God was not in the fire. But then silence. And that's when Elijah heard the Lord. Maybe that's why the psalmist wrote, be still and know that I am God. Or maybe that's why Habakkuk wrote, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Sometimes we want God to come and make a big entrance. But sometimes God comes in the stillness of the night. We want God to come, show up and show out. But sometimes God slips in, does what God does, and slips on out. We expect God to make a lot of noise, but sometimes we don't hear a thing. And before we know it, God has already worked it out. Ain't the Lord all right? Elijah questioned God, but God also had a question for Elijah. Elijah, what are you doing here? I still have something for you to do. Go down to Damascus, anoint the king of Syria, then go see Jehu, anoint him king of Israel, and finally find Elijah and anoint him as your replacement. Ain't the Lord all right? We may not know what God is doing, but God always knows what we are doing. We may not see what God is doing, but God always sees what we are doing. I'm so glad Paul gives us this assurance, and we know that all things work together for the good for them that love God, to them who call according to his purpose. Ain't the Lord all right? held you too long. But I'm reminded of a story. It was about an old man whose daughter asked the pastor to come by and pray for her ailing father. When the pastor arrived, he found a man lying in the bed with his head propped up on two sides by pillars and an empty chair set next to the bed. The pastor believed that the father was expecting him, and he said, "I guess you expected my visit." The father said, "No. Who are you?" "I'm your new pastor," he said. "When I saw the empty chair, I figured you knew I was going to show up." "Oh yeah," the man said. "The chair." He said, "Pastor, would you close the door?" Puzzled, the pastor shut the door. And the man said, "To tell you the truth, Pastor, I never told anybody this before, not even my daughter. But all my life, I've never really known how to pray. At Sunday worship, I used to hear the pastor talk about prayer, but that stuff went right over my head. So I stopped praying altogether until one day, about 4 years ago, my best friend said to me, 'Joe, prayer is simple. It's like having a conversation with Jesus.' Here's what I suggest, my friend. Sit down in the place and then place an empty chair in front of you. And in faith, see Jesus sitting on that chair. It's not spooky because Jesus promised he'd always be with us. Then speak to him and listen in the same way for him to speak back to you." So the pastor was moved by this man's story. He said, "Every day, about 4 hours, I'm careful to have prayer, but I make sure my daughter don't see me talking to the empty chair. She might have a nervous breakdown or send me to a mental institution." The pastor was moved and encouraged, prayed over the man, and told him to continue his practices. The pastor left and went back to the church. 2 nights later, the daughter called to tell the pastor her father had died that afternoon. The pastor asked, "Did he appear to die in peace?" The daughter said, "Why, yes, Pastor. Just before I left the house around 2 o'clock, he called me over to his bedside, told me one of his corny jokes, and kissed me on the cheek. And when I got back from the store an hour later, I found him dead. But there was something strange, Pastor. It was beyond strange. It was kind of weird. Apparently, just before Daddy died, he must have fallen out of bed. Because when I found him with his head resting on the chair beside the bed. Ain't the Lord all right? Sisters and brothers, I heard in my spirit, 'God, what are you doing?' And I wrote it down. But not long after that, while sitting in the pulpit, I heard God answer, 'God, what are you doing?' And I heard God say, 'What I've always been doing. I'm still commanding the heavenly host, still interceding for my children, still lifting up bowed heads, still encouraging discouraged souls, still mending broken hearts, still healing wounded spirits, still saving lost souls, still preparing a place for you. I'm still working behind the scenes, making the sun rise, making the stars shine, rotating the earth around the sun, making the seasons change,
making the weather change, making trees go, making flowers bloom. Ain't the Lord all right? God, what are you doing? What I've always been doing. Poet, do you have anything that you can tell us about what God is doing? Yes, true forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet the scaffold fades the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. Psalmist, what are you having to say about what God is doing? The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foe, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host stood in camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Psalmist, what else do you have to say? I will lift up my eyes to the hill, from where cometh my help, my help, my help, my help. Come from the Lord, Him writer. What do you have to say about what God is doing and what God has done? To God be the glory. Great things He had done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the light gate so all could come in. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Let the people rejoice. Come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things, great things, great things He had done. Ain't He all right? Psalmist, what else do you have to say? I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and placed my feet upon a rock. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore I won't fear, though the earth be removed and carried to the sea. Ain't the Lord all right? What has He been doing? He's been picking us up, turning us around, and placing our feet on solid ground. What's He been doing? Turning our nights into day. Hallelujah. Our sorrows into joy, our sadness into laughter. What's He been doing? Making a way out of no way and opening closed doors. What's He been doing? Putting food on our table, shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, and a roof over my head. What's He been doing? Me and a doctor in the sick room, and a lawyer in the courtroom. Ain't the Lord all right? Ain't He all right? Ain't He all right? Ain't He all right? Has He done anything for you? Has He made a way for you? Has He brought you out? Ain't He all right? Thank you, Lord, because He done so much for me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall come. continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make his bone in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Ain't it all right? Ain't it all right? Ain't it all right?
What's he been doing?
He's been being God, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd, and Jehovah Selu, my rock. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? There are some things I can't do, but I'm glad that him right was right. Cannot make a will and hold it in my head. I cannot make lightning flash across the land. I cannot take a piece of clay and mold it into man. But
what's he doing?
What is God doing right now? The hymn writer helps us softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portal, he watching and waiting for you and for me. Come home. He will
come home softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home. If you don't know the Lord and the free pardon of your sin, he's saying, come home. If you have hatred or jealousy or envy in your heart, he's saying, come home. If you're filled with pride, he's saying, come home. Ain't he all right? Won't he make a way? Won't he make a way? I feel like preaching, but y'all tired. All right. God, what are you doing? What I've always been doing. Reaching out my hand to the needy. Lifting up those who are torn down. Healing the broken, battered, and bruised.